Good morning. Welcome to Broad Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Today's lesson, the Lord's Supper celebration. Christ illuminates the power of the dependent life. The Christ illuminates the power of the dependent life. Today, just as we do every month, we celebrate the Lord's Supper, which is a meal of remembrance. We eat by breaking bread. We drink by tasting the fruit of the vine, and we look back to the cross, one of the most significant events in divine history. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 says, "As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." At the Lord's Supper celebration, as a gathering of his believers, we remember the Lord's death on the cross, which paid the price for Adam's sin, the sin that is credited to the account of all mankind at physical birth, the sin resulting in spiritual death, thus the requirement to be born again, the spiritual birth. We remember the shedding of the Lord's blood to cleanse us from this unrighteousness. What unrighteousness is it? The sin of independence. We remember with gladness that the Lord Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. And that happened 3 days after his crucifixion to prove that he was indeed deity. This is the thing that makes the Lord Jesus Christ different than all the pretender gods, the Joseph Smiths, the Mohammeds, the Buddhas, the Pope, all the pretenders. None of them have ever been resurrected from the dead. The only person that has ever been resurrected from the dead is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now we believers in Christ know through his infallible word that the Lord Jesus Christ is seated victorious at the right hand of his Father's throne, waiting for the moment when God the Father will make the Lord's enemies a footstool for his feet. Now, when I look back to the cross, I see the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says this, "This is the message we apostles have heard from him and announce to you." And apostles, if you were an apostle, you were an apostle because you had direct contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. "This is the message that we apostles have heard from him and announced to you, that God the Father is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says this, "If we walk in the light, as God the Father himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." The Lord Jesus Christ is a reflection of the Father's light. John chapter 8, verse 12 says this, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of the resurrection life." And as believers in Christ, we do have the resurrection life, eternal life, the Zoe life, right at the moment of salvation. God the Father is light. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who lights this world, the kingdom of darkness. And between them, they illuminate the way to heaven. And we know that there is only one way to be saved. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, "Jesus said to Thomas, the doubting apostle, I am the way to salvation, and I am the truth through the word of God, and I am the resurrection life. And no one comes to the Father but through believing in me." Welcome to the celebration of the light and what the light of the world did for us at the cross, namely the shedding of his blood for a new covenant to make it possible for us to be saved. And so, as we prepare our souls for worship, let's enjoy the opening song, "Cast My Cares," sung by Finding Favor. And as we do, we remember that we do well when we slam all of our mind dividers, when we cast all of our cares on the Lord's back, when we depend on the Lord because the Lord considers our problems to be his responsibility.
When fear feels bigger than my faith, and struggles steal my breath away, when my back's pressed up against the wall, with the weight of my worries stacked up tall, you're strong enough to hold it all. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. This was not what I would have chosen, but you see the future no one knows yet. And you're still good when I can see the working of your hands. You're holding it all. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the trouble world for your peace inside my soul.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for sending your Son so that we could celebrate his life. And we celebrate his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. And as we do, make it clear to us the value of dependence on you. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. To today's Lord's Supper celebration, Christ illuminates the power of the dependent life. Christ illuminates the power of the dependent life. As the light of the world, he illuminates. Now, we're going to begin this lesson by giving you a chance to make an offering. It's a chance for you to support the ministry in providing the Word of God both to you and to others who are positive about the Word of God all over the world. When you give of your treasure, you are imitating the Savior's sacrifice, a Savior who gave himself for us as well. We appreciate your faithfulness and your contributions, especially in this time of need. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offering.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. Last week, Pastor talked about how the Jews squandered their gifts from God. And I think we all do that. And you think about each day, there's so many missed opportunities, whether it's helping a friend or witnessing about Christ or just getting to know somebody in your family. And it makes me think about my son, William, how it's easy to miss opportunities to teach him to count or teach him to read because I'm watching football or I've got things to do, I've got yard work to do. And really, you know, he's only going to be two and a half years old once or one moment, and it's horrible to miss those opportunities. And it makes me think this week I worked probably about 60 hours because I'm redoing my back room. I'm adding a bunch of cabinets, a Murphy bed and closet systems and a desk and all this stuff. And as I was working and losing motivation at night, I just had to keep reminding myself, this is an amazing opportunity. Not everybody can stay late at their shop and have a CNC, an edge bander, hundreds of thousands of dollars of machinery to make their dream come true. And that's how I feel about this church. This is another thing where a lot of times we might lose heart because it's a lot of work and it's a lot of hardships and there's a lot of attacks. And it might seem like, why are we doing this? But this is an amazing opportunity to not lose heart and to not let it go and to just keep fighting on and pushing through. And it made me think of Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all those people, and especially to those who are the household of faith, all the believers. And I think this is a great verse to those who have been giving to this church, as well as those who are going to start giving to this church. Do not grow weary, because we will push through. Pastor is dedicated to this 100%, to stick it out and to fight through, and we're working on adding more people to this church every day. And it makes me think about the people that are missing the opportunity today to learn about God, to hear His Word, missing the opportunity today to take part in the Lord's Supper. And you think about the people that missed the opportunity when Jesus was actually here on earth. How did they not see that He was God? Right in front of His face. And they missed the opportunity to believe at that point, and they just got stuck with the masses and with the sheep and believed what they said because they didn't want to go against the grain. They didn't want to take the road less traveled. Well, this is the road less traveled, and we're happy to be here, and we're happy to be here to help you. So don't miss this opportunity to give of your time, your talent, and your treasure, because we truly appreciate it, and we know that God will bless you and will help you reap if we do not grow weary. So thank you.
Thank you, Deacon Denny, for the, as usual, wonderful offering message. I always think about squandered opportunities. When I think of squandered opportunities, I think about that innkeeper when Mary was pregnant and she came to his inn and he said, sorry, there's no room. Okay, well, we'll just take the birth of the Savior of the universe someplace else. It was probably a Marriott, just so you know. But... Can I get a room shout on that one? That was pretty good. Today's lesson is the Lord's Supper celebration. I know. It was a squandered opportunity. It's never too late, though. I really like them anywhere they just happen. So the Lord's Supper celebration, Christ illuminates the power of the dependent life. Well, the fall of creatures started with independence. The thought that there is some power to be had outside of the power that comes from God. The Lord Jesus Christ would walk into the garden in the cool of the day and would teach Adam and Eve the word of God. And they were naked and they were happy and everything was beautiful. And then Satan, the enemy of God, who is always calling us to temptation, the temptation of the independent life, a life apart from God, started up with them in the garden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, this crafty beast, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" That's not what God said at all. And Satan, the father of all lies, the slippery, slimy, serpenty snake, the crafty one, knew what the Lord had said. What the Lord said, actually, to Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 is this. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely." From any tree of the garden you may eat freely. Genesis 2:17, "But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. From the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." The Hebrew is dying, die. You will die spiritually first, and then eventually you will die physically. And that is exactly what happens to us. We are born physically alive, but spiritually dead, and eventually we die physically. We're born physically, we die physically, because we have Adam's sin imputed to us from the moment of birth. So, said another way, that command that God gave to Adam is, don't act independently. Depend on me, just do what I ask, obey. Now back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 2. The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat." Genesis 3, 3. "But from the fruit of the tree which was in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." Notice how Eve missed the translation of the message. Genesis 3, 4, "The serpent said to the woman, you will not die." In other words, he's saying, God's lying. Well, what he's saying is a lie. That's exactly what God said. God said, dying, die. Dying spiritually, you'll eventually die physically. The serpent says to the woman, "You will not die." Genesis 3, 5, "For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." There's another lie. We are not like God. We couldn't possibly be like God in any realm of the imagination. So everything Satan proposes is a lie because there is no truth in him. And the rest is history. The woman acted independently from God. She convinced her husband to do the same. His sin caused the fall of all mankind. And it is the same thing that happened in angelic history. Satan, the enemy of God, convinced all of the angelic creatures to turn against God. And what creatures broke, both angelic creatures and mankind, what they broke, they could not fix themselves. So it is with the Jewish race. The thought that they can have salvation only through Abraham's covenant with God, thus they have no need for Jesus Christ, is false. The Lord Jesus Christ came to earth to fix the problem. John chapter 1, verse 14 says this, "And the Word, the Lord, God the Son, became flesh, Jesus Christ, and tabernacled among us." He lived among us. "And we beheld his glory." We saw the manifestation of the Godhead in him. Glory, as of the uniquely born one from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "The Lord Jesus Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might die to the sovereignty of sin and live to righteousness, absolute righteousness, for by the Lord's wounds you were healed." John chapter 19, verses 17 to 19 says, "They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of a skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. John 19:18. They crucified him, and they crucified with him two other men, one on either side, with Jesus in between, one to his left, an unbeliever, one to his right, a soon-to-be believer in Christ. Mark chapter 15, verse 33. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't give you verse 19 of the John passage. John 19:19. And Pontius Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross, and it was written, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Mark chapter 15, verse 33 says this, when the sixth hour came, which was high noon, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, long before the Lord hung in the darkness of the cross, the glory of the Lord had shone brightly for his people, the Jews, as he led them through the desert, a cloud by day and a fire by night. Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 to 8 say this, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel to raise a voluntary contribution for me. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution. And this is the contribution that you are to raise from them, gold, silver, and bronze. Exodus 25:4, blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair. Exodus 25:5, ram skins dyed red, porpoise skins, acacia wood. Exodus 25:6, oil for lighting, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense. Exodus 25:7, onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod, the robe of the high priest, and for the breastpiece. Exodus 25:8, let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. For the Jews who missed that the Lord Jesus Christ is their Messiah, he had always been their light. The Lord Jesus Christ has always existed. There never has been a time when he didn't exist. He existed before he took on human form as Jesus Christ during the 33 years he was on the earth. He existed as the Lord before that. The Old Testament calls him the Lord God. He is the Word. He is God the Son. He is the one who was called Jehovah Elohim in the Old Testament, the one whom Abraham believed in, and it was credited to Abraham's account as righteousness. The Jewish race has always been taught in ritual form that their Messiah is the light, that they would see his glory. And for most, they have missed it that the Lord Jesus Christ is that Messiah, the uniquely born one from God the Father, the light. And they have sought to bring the light forth from themselves through independence by following the Mosaic law. And it has not worked, not for them and not for anyone who attempts salvation on his own. So let's take a few moments to dine with the one on whom we are dependent. Let's enjoy the elements of the Lord's Supper celebration. And as we do, let's feel the Lord's presence among us, because he promises that wherever two or more of you are gathered in my name, I will be there in your midst. And let's enjoy the light that is shining brightly in our souls. And let's remember all that God has given us to make it easy for us to be completely dependent on him. So let's enjoy the elements. Following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember his work at the cross, the voluntary sacrifice he made to be our substitute. And we're grateful for what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me. When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the Lord Jesus Christ as a person. When we drink the cup, we remember the Lord Jesus Christ and his work 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this: in the same way the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after the Passover supper, representing his death on the cross, saying, "This cup is a new testament, the new covenant, forged with my blood. Keep on doing this celebration, and as often as you drink it, do so for the purpose of remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup as part of the Lord's Supper celebration, you proclaim as a reality and you announce the significance to the world of the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead until he comes again in the second coming." So as you enjoy the bread and the cup, enjoy the memory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. And now and always, let us keep on giving thanks that we are loved unconditionally and accepted fully by the Lord, the one who is always there for us, the one on whom we can depend. And let's enjoy his unconditional love day by day. And that's the name of our Lord's Supper song. Music break is a song by Don Moen. It's called "Give Thanks."
with a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ.
Welcome back to the Lord's Supper celebration. Christ illuminates the power of the dependent life. The Lord taught the Jewish race through rituals and symbols. And one of those symbols was the menorah, which is pictured here. The menorah is an ancient Hebrew golden lampstand with seven lamps and six branches. It is thought to symbolize Judaism, but in truth, it symbolizes Christ. In Exodus chapter 25, verses 31 to 40, the Jewish race was instructed how to make a menorah. Then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand and its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work. Its cups, its bulbs, and its flowers shall be one piece with it. Exodus 25, 32, six branches shall go out from its sides. Three branches of the lampstand from its one side and three branches of the lampstand from its other side. Exodus 25:33. Three cups shall be shaped like almond blossoms in the one branch, a bulb and a flower, and three cups shaped like almond blossoms in the other branch, a bulb and a flower. So for six branches going out from the lampstand. And in the lampstand, four cups shaped like almond blossoms, its bulbs and its flowers. A bulb shall be under the first pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the second pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the third pair of branches coming out of it, for the six branches coming out from the lampstand. God is very precise, isn't he? Exodus 25:36. Their bulbs and their branches shall be of one piece with it. All of it shall be one piece of hammered work of pure gold. Exodus 25:37. Then you shall make its lamps seven in number, and they shall mount its lamps so as to shed light on the space in front of it. Exodus 25:38. Its snuffers and their trays shall be of pure gold. Exodus 25:39. It shall be made from a talent of pure gold. That's about $150 in U.S. currency. With all these utensils. Exodus 25:40. See to it that you make them after the pattern for them which was shown to you on the mountain. And so there it is, the menorah. And one of the things that you'll start seeing at this time of the year is menorahs starting to be used. And one of the things you'll also notice if you're diligent and detailed is you'll see some menorahs with 8 or 9 bulbs instead of just 7. And that will give you the correct impression that Satan counterfeits everything. Well, the gold of the menorah represents the light. Why don't you go ahead and leave that up, Denny? The gold of the menorah represents the light, which represents the truth, which represents the Word of God, and therefore it represents Christ. So gold represents the light, the truth, the Word of God, Christ. And it is made in one piece of solid gold through and through, just like the Christ. Our God is made of solid gold through and through. The three branches on the left symbolize divine perfection. The three branches on the right symbolize spiritual perfection. The center lamp is one, and it represents unity. The one lamp with the six branches symbolizes one God, and with the six branches representing the number of man, which is six. You've heard, if you've ever watched The Exorcist, you know, you always have the number in there, 666, and it's supposed to symbolize the Antichrist, but actually 6 simply represents man. The shape of the branches, an almond shape, represents almond blossoms, which die in the winter, and they are the first blossoms to come to life in the spring. And this represents the resurrection. Through his total dependence on his Father to provide everything for him, the Lord Jesus Christ restored everything that Adam lost, everything that Satan lost. He fulfilled the law. He restored the relationship between God and creatures. He was perfect, and therefore he tore down the barrier of the dividing wall that separated mankind separated all creatures, in fact, from God. And he is a reminder that God is the source and we are the recipients. And there is no need for us to ever want to take God's place. There is no need to seek anything outside of our relationship with God. The menorah is a message to the Jews. The Christ, the Messiah, is everything. He is the light. He is the truth. He is the resurrection. He alone is holy. He is the source. Christ's life as the light of the world illuminated the power of dependence. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11 say this: have this attitude in yourselves, which was also the attitude in Christ Jesus. Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, in true humanity, who although he existed in the form of God, although he was also deity, did not regard equality with God the Father as a thing to be seized and held. And that's what Satan did. Satan regarded equality with God as a thing to be seized and held. And so he committed the sin of independence. Philippians 2:7. But instead, Christ emptied himself. Kinoo is the Greek word. He emptied himself. What does that mean? He deprived himself of the rightful function of deity by taking on true humanity. and taking on the form of a bondservant, a 24-hour-a-day, seven-day-a-week slave to his God. Doulos is the Greek word. And being made in the likeness of men, Philippians 2:8, being found in appearance as a man, he humiliated himself, not just humbled himself. He humiliated himself by taking on human form, becoming obedient to the point of death, even a death on a cross, the worst form of death in the history of mankind, crucifixion. Philippians 2:9. And for this reason also, God the Father highly exalted him, promoted him, and bestowed on the Lord Jesus Christ the name which is above every name, Philippians 2:10, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, to those who are in heaven, to those who are on the earth, to those who are under the earth, Philippians 2:11, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Messiah to the glory of God the Father. So when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we celebrate the light, we celebrate the truth, we celebrate dependence, all of which points to one and only one person who is at the center of everything, the Christ, the Jewish Messiah, and the Savior of the world. Thank you, Lord, for making the resurrection life possible for us. Well, we close this Lord's Supper celebration with the message, God wants you, and we invite you to make the most important decision of your life. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel message, for it is the power of God the Father, divine omnipotence, to provide salvation to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to the Gentiles. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, enter salvation through the narrow gate, and the narrow gate is the Lord Jesus Christ. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. Matthew 7:14, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to the resurrection life, and there are few who find it. John 10:9, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the door to salvation. And if anyone enters through believing in me, he will be saved. And then after that, he will go in and out and find pasture. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for all in union with Adam are set to die the second death in the lake of fire. And that is all of our situation from physical birth. But all those who believe in the Son, all those who through the baptism of the Spirit are placed into union with Christ, all of them by choice will live the resurrection life. Closing song, June Murphy singing, Shout to the Lord.
To worship you.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for thinking enough of us to send us your Son. And we know that because you have done the hard thing, which is sending your Son to die for us, that we can expect that you'll do all the easy things that are the mind dividers that we have in this life. We're always worried about whether we're going to have enough money to retire, if we're going to have good health, if we're going to have enough money at the end of the month, if we're going to have relationships with our kids, if our marriage is going to go well. We're always worried about so many things. And we should just know that if you thought enough of us to send your Son to die for us, that you would also think of all the other things, that we're not going to run out of water, and that the earth isn't going to come to a fiery end, and that it really doesn't matter who gets elected because you're in control of the universe. And so we just thank you for that. Thank you for the reminder that you give us through your word that you're in control and that you have us personally in mind, and that there never has been a time in the history of the universe where you didn't know us personally and by name, and there never will be. And so we just rest in that. And we appreciate all the things you do for all the people that we're praying for. And we ask you to bless us and keep us and to show us the light and the path that you've chosen for our lives. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.